My brothers and my sisters, there's something called the Pygmalion effect. The Pygmalion effect is a phenomenon by which higher expectations lead to an increase in performance. Likewise, there's also something called the Golem effect. And the Golem effect is a phenomenon by which low expectations lead to a decrease in performance. Both of these effects are what we would call self-fulfilling prophecies. In other words, if you expect somebody to do great things, if you have high expectations for someone, then what often happens is because you have high expectations for them, they live up to your level of expectations. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. But likewise, if you have low expectations for somebody, you don't expect much out of them, they know you don't expect much out of them, then oftentimes when they play out their performance, what you will see is that they don't do too much and they will have low performance, and that is what's called a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's a very interesting thing because I will admit that in the Lee household, they had high expectations. That as I grew up, that Nancy and Orlando Lee, no matter what my grades looked like, still told me, even when I had bad grades, that they could not accept bad grades because I had a great mind. They had high expectations, and so therefore, somewhere along the journey, even though I did not play it out in the beginning, somewhere along the journey, I caught up with their level of expectation. The challenge for too many of us is many people have not expected much of us. The challenge for too many of us is that because of the way society is constructed, that if you're born on the wrong side of the railroad tracks, folks don't think too much of you. That if you come and have a certain amount of melanin in your skin, folks don't have much expectations for you. Sisters, if you look at sexism, that folks don't necessarily think so much or have high expectations based on gender bias. That if you look at the way things are constructed and shaped, that oftentimes in this society, the challenge can be not that you don't have it in you, but folks don't even expect you to become much of anything. And I don't know about you. I don't know if there's somebody in the house today, but you can admit, if you're honest with yourself, that whether it was in your school, whether it was in your household, whether it was in your community, that there were some folks that did not believe that you would be much of anything. Is there anybody here who grew up like me that felt that you were going to just be a statistic? That when folks talked about it, folks looked at the statistics, they looked at your situation, they looked at your circumstances, whether it was what neighborhood you grew up in, whether it was if you had a child out of wedlock or had a child early or an unwed mother, that whatever the situation, that you had everyone quoting statistics to you about what you would not become. Have I got a witness in the house today? Is there anybody in the house today that can admit that the odds seem to be stacked against you from becoming what God had for you because many folks had low expectations? But I'm so glad today that I come and I look at a scripture in which it was a situation in which there should have been low expectations, but Jesus had high expectations. And when I look at this scripture, I realize that Jesus did not just have high expectations for them. He has high expectations for us. You don't believe me? Let me help you. Here we find ourselves in John, the 14th chapter. This is what we call Jesus' final discourse, his last conversations with the disciples before he goes to face Calvary. And he is giving them some of the nuggets. He's giving them some of the best teaching he has for him. He's given them some of these last final instructions about how to handle the world when he's gone. And he tells them in this scripture that very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. It's a very interesting thing, Reverend Wells, because most of the times when I looked at this scripture, I just thought of it from the fact of the matter of what Jesus said that we would be able to do. I just looked at it and I was mind blown because of the fact that Jesus said that whoever believes, not just the disciples, whoever believes in me will do what I've done and even do greater things than me. Okay, some of y'all don't get that. Some of y'all just sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. Y'all always do great things. But when I look back over what Jesus did, Jesus was one who was able to look at a lame man and get him to walk. And Jesus was one to able to get a mute person and get him talking. Jesus was one to look at a deaf person and get him hearing. Jesus was one to have a blind person and get him seeing. Jesus was one that was able to cast out devils. Jesus was one that turned water into wine. Jesus was one that spoke to a storm and told it to shut up and the storm got locked. Y'all, Jesus was one who looked at Lazarus and said, get up out the grave, and he got up out the grave. That Jesus was one who was able to move in such a phenomenal fashion. mentioned that when he spoke, change happened. Jesus did all of these things, but yet here in Scripture, Jesus tells the disciples that whoever believes in me will do what I've done. Lord, have mercy. And greater things shall they do. It blows my mind, Pastor Sterling, because, you see, I used to get caught up in the fact that Jesus was actually saying I could do what he did. But I did not realize that Jesus was using the Pygmalion effect to have let me understand he had great expectations, Lord have mercy, of me. That Jesus was letting me know 2,000 years before I was born that he was determined that I was going to do a work for him. And he had great expectations, Lord have mercy, of me. One of the first things you've got to understand when you understand that Jesus has great expectations is that Jesus expects it when you're not showing it. Turn to your neighbor and say, I know you don't see it yet, but it's still there. It's still there. The writer Michael Wynn, in his book Empowering African-American Males to Succeed, deals with this Pygmalion effect, deals with this sense of self-fulfilling prophecy. He has a whole chapter of this titled Teacher-Parent Expectations. And what he deals with and what he talks about, Jwanza Kanjufu deals with the same kind of premise in his series of books, Countering the Conspiracy to Destroy Black Boys. It deals with the fact that it's significant and important to make sure that when you get your child in the classroom, that teacher has high expectations of them and that the parent communicates high expectations of them, because what they have shown is that if you put your child in a classroom and if the teacher doesn't think they're going to do much, they won't do much. But if the teacher says they're going to be somebody, they'll become somebody. Have I got a witness in the house today? And that's why I've come by to tell you at Community of Hope, we don't say negative stuff about our children. That we don't say our children are bad. Amen, somebody. That we don't say today, baby kids. Amen, somebody. That we don't call them a terror. That we don't call them demons. That we don't call them playboy. We don't call them little player. We don't tell our boys they're going to be a little ladies man. We don't tell our girls they're going to be heartbreakers, because we do not have an expectation of dysfunction over their lives. But we tell them they're brilliant. We tell them they got it going on. We tell them they're the smartest thing this world has ever produced. We tell them that I don't care how you act. They may be acting like Bebe's kid, but your name ain't Bebe. Have I got a witness in the house today? That even when it doesn't look like it, we tell them they're going to be somebody. That even when our situation doesn't look like it, we tell them they're going to be great. And we tell them there's greatness on the inside. Lord, have mercy of them. What I like about Jesus is that Jesus had disciples in front of him. And they weren't the best. They weren't the smartest. They weren't the most intelligent. But he told them, these things I've done and greater you're going to do. You've got to understand that Jesus expects it even when you're not showing it. The second thing you've got to understand is you have a responsibility in the matter. Turn to your neighbor and say, you've got a responsibility in the matter. You've got a responsibility in the matter. What do you mean, Reverend? Too many of us want a faith full of grace but lacking accountability. Too many of us want discipline, destiny, but no discipline. That we want God to open up the windows of heaven and pour us out blessings, but we don't want to have to follow any kinds of rules or regulations in order to be able to receive the privileges of the kingdom of God. In other words, we want it all given to us, but we don't want to have to do anything for it. And I'm not saying that grace costs, but I am saying that Jesus said that if you love me, keep my commands. Lord, have mercy. In other words, that Jesus is saying that if you want to walk in the kind of power I'm telling you, you have access to, I need you to follow my commands so that you can be able to be responsible enough to receive and get what I'm telling you I've got for you. That Jesus said that I'm going on to the Father, but I'll tell the Father to hook you up. I'll tell the Father to let you do it. I'll tell the Father to give you the power. I'll tell the Father to work it out. And whatever you ask in my name, Lord have mercy, that I'll make it happen for you. But in order for that to happen for you, you've got to keep my commands. In other words, that you can't just be asking no willy-nilly everything you want just because you want it, how you want it, when you want it, and believe I've got to honor those prayers. But I need you to line up with my word. And when you line up with my word, then what you ask will line up with my word and will line up with my commands. And I have no problem opening up the windows of heaven and giving you what you need. Is there anybody in the house today that knows that God's got everything you need? That God's got every single thing that you need, but you've got to stop doing what you want to do all the time. And understand that sometimes you got to do it God's way, even if you don't like it. Turn to your neighbor and say, I may not like it, but it's still right. I may want to do it my way, but God's way is still the better way. I learned a lesson coming up. There was a difference between myself and Reverend Bill. There was a difference between myself and Reverend Bill. There was a difference between myself and Reverend Bill. I taught Reverend Bill how to be able to get all the privileges and benefits of the Lee household. I taught him how to get all of the privileges and the benefits. I'm talking about Reverend Bill was doing it. Reverend Bill, he was the golden child. Reverend Bill could get done whatever he wanted to get done, get whatever he wanted, because I told him to do the opposite of what I did, I told him that if you want to get ahead in this family, you need to do good in school. That's important. If you want to get ahead in this family, you need to be obedient. Amen, somebody. If you want to get ahead in this family, you need not to be a jerk. Amen, somebody. If you want to get ahead in this family, and you need to listen to mom and dad. Amen, somebody. I said, you need to do exactly what I'm not doing. I need you to do, because we realized that that the way I was living, I didn't like the rules. Lord have mercy. I didn't like the rules. I didn't understand the rules. I didn't want to go by the rules. Lord have mercy. I didn't want to go by the rules at home. I didn't want to go by the rules at school. I didn't want to go by the rules on the bus. I didn't want to go by the rules nowhere. And what happened is that there were certain privileges Reverend Bill could get because he would go by the rules of the house. And what I did not realize back then was I thought the rules were to keep me bound, but the rules were really to keep me in order, to push me forward. And so I fought against the rules that were trying to propel me to be who God had called me to be. And Reverend Bill understood, if I make the honor roll, I get better things. And so they have no problems blessing me, because I'm holding up my end of the bargain. Somebody in the house today, you want God to do everything for you, but you don't want to follow the rules. Lord have mercy. You want to live it the way you want to live it, do it the way you want to do it, act in the old way you want to act, talk in the old way you want to talk, go any old way you want to go. I know you ain't going to shut off of it because you're hurting, but I've come to let you know today, if you would dare get right with God, God will open up the ways and make a way for you. You got a responsibility. The last thing, and I'm done, is you're not by yourself. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're not in this alone. You're not by yourself. The Jesus, as he talks to them, he says, and these things and greater you'll be able to do, because I'll go unto my Father and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. And if you love me, keep my commands. But then he goes on and said, now I ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. Turn to your neighbor and say, another. I never had paid much attention to the scripture. I paid attention, but something hit me when I looked at this, and it's the word another. The word another means an additional. The word another means one more. In other words, Jesus was saying that I've already been an advocate for you, but I need you to understand how to be able to live in this world with me gone. That Jesus said, I'm getting ready to go be with the Father, and I'll be an advocate for you there. And I'm trying to help the disciples to understand that when I'm gone, you see, I've been the one who has always showed you how to do it. I've been the one who has always showed you how to make it happen. I've been the one who has always held your hand, but I'm about to go on to be with the Father. But I need you to know that you're not going to be by yourself, because the Father's going to send another advocate. In other words, I'll be an advocate in glory, but he's going to send another advocate, which is the Holy Spirit, who's going to take care of you, who's going to give you insight and wisdom, who's going to whisper in your ear and tell you when to turn right and tell you when to turn left. That I'm going to give you another advocate, which is the Holy Spirit. Okay, that went over somebody's head. Let me help you here. An advocate is somebody who fights for you. An advocate is somebody who takes your case. That when you have an advocate in the courthouse, that's somebody who, if you say you're innocent, they're going to fight to get you off because they're your what? Your advocate. And I'm so glad today that I've got not just one advocate, but I've got two. That Jesus said that I'll be your advocate with the Father. I'll sit on the right hand of the Father. And when you need something, I just ask for it in my name. And I'll give you the hookup. And I'll tell the Father, they my child. I need you to work it out in their situation. I know there's sickness in their body, but I advocate for God to send a healing and touch your body and everything be well. I know you got problems in your finances, but I'll be an advocate and ask God to turn on the faucet of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you won't have room enough to receive. That I know you're going through challenges in your relationship and you've been dealing with people that don't seem to be concerned about you. I'll be the advocate to kick them about your life and to send you the one, Lord have mercy, that'll do you right. Have I got a witness? I'll be your advocate. But Jesus said, but I won't be down there with you, but I'm going to send another. I'll have my Father send the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost will be able to give you power, be able to give you power to walk right, and give you power to talk right, and give you power to live right, and help you to understand that you shall be great, and greater things than I did shall you do. Let me help you. I learned a lesson that in high school. In high school, I told you all that I used to get in a lot of trouble at school, but I was a really smart student. I was a smart student. I just was not a student who did his work. Amen, somebody. I was. In other words, back in those days, I don't know if they still have it. Now they had the TAG program, amen, the Talented and Gifted program. When you went around fifth, sixth grade, they did this test, and if you passed the test, then they put you in the TAG program. The TAG program was supposed to be the smarter children of the school. They had higher expectations for you. They gave you the best teachers. They gave you the hardest curriculum. You got the most interesting things to do because you were in a talented and gifted program. The challenge for me was that I was in the talented and gifted program, but I kept getting in trouble because all of my friends were in level two and level three. Amen, somebody. And so even though I was in the talented and gifted program, I kept doing dysfunctional things in the classroom. I would do crazy stuff like set a fire inside the desk. Amen, somebody. In school, young people, this ain't what you do. This is Reverend saying I was bad. Amen, somebody. I used to get, one time that my parents came up, I used to have to go around every week, and I had something that all of my teachers had to sign about my behavior to talk about how I'd behaved that week. And one time my parents came to the school because a teacher called them during lunchtime talking about how bad I had been, and my parents said, well, why have you been saying he's been so good on this sheet you've been signing all year? And the teacher said, I ain't never seen that sheet. And that sure enough ain't. Oh, I can't get no help up in here. I had a forgery ring up in Friendly. I had people who specialize in teacher signatures and people who specialize in parent signatures. I was an entrepreneur early. Amen, somebody. I had a teacher, an English teacher, who told me that I don't care for any scholarship, I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure you don't get it, because she just couldn't stand me because I had made her life a misery in that classroom that I watched. And what I realized looking back over it was that I didn't like school because I didn't like the way my teachers related to me, because I realized that my teachers, even though I was in a talented and gifted program, they had high expectations for the white kids but looked down on me. They had high expectations for the goody-goody kids, but they looked down on me. But the interesting thing is that my parents had such high expectations for me that even though I wasn't playing it out, Lord have mercy, even though my parents were trying to be an advocate for me, even though my parents were telling me how great I could be, I was not playing it out, but they were still sowing the seed of expectation. What? In me. And my parents were an advocate at home. Amen. My parents were an advocate for me. But I want to thank God, Lord have mercy, that there came a class I ended up in, a chemistry class with Mrs. Anderson at Friendly High School. And she became, Lord have mercy, another what? advocate. Lord, Mrs. Anderson's class was supposed to be the hardest class in the whole school. She had a tag chemistry class, and we would go in there, and she would tell everybody that y'all can. She would give us stuff that we had never seen before in our life and tell us to work it out and tell us to figure it out and tell us she wasn't teaching us how to do it. We had to look in the book and figure it out for ourselves, that she was trying to get us to be able to be self-learners and self-starters. And all the white children and all the children who had been so coddled and all the black kids who had been coddled by the other teachers got so shook and got so scared because all the other teachers told them how good they were. Me, I took it as I had this hard teacher, and I was going to show her I was smarter than she thought I was. I was going to show her who I was. I was going to show her. I'm talking about that she had them all shook. I'm taking away your tag title. And I didn't care about no title no way. They was crying. She's taking away our tag title. We won't be tagged no more. How's she going to take away the tag from us? And I'm hollering because it's the first time I seen them cry with a teacher. So I started liking the teacher because she was mean to them. Amen, somebody. I started liking Miss Anderson, and I started going home, and I would do her work. And then when nobody could figure out how to do a problem, I would hop up on the board and I would do the problem. Miss Anderson was like, oh, that boy, he all right. That Tony Lee, that boy all right. But the problem was, Lord have mercy, that one day my mama got a call from Miss Anderson. Now, I was used to all the other teachers calling my mama house, but my mama and daddy got a call from Miss Anderson. And Miss Anderson called my mother and my father and told them that I was not living up to my potential, told them that I was not doing the work at the level that I had the potential to do the work. I got home, and if y'all know the Lee household, y'all knew that they was about to beat the wheels off of me. Amen. They about to beat the wheels off of me. That's what they did. Amen, somebody. Amen. And I went home, and they told me, your teacher called us. And I said, which teacher? Because I knew it was a range of them that could have called, and I needed to get my lie together for what teacher, because I had lies specific to teachers. Oh, I ain't got no help up in here with nobody else that had no problems in school, but I'm just telling y'all, don't you judge me. I'm just trying to help y'all learn from me. I said, which teacher called? And she said, Miss Anderson called. I said, what's Miss Anderson doing calling you? She said, because she said you're not living up to your potential. And I said, how in the world Miss Anderson gonna call my house and talk about I'm not living up to my potential? I dealt with the drama at the house that night, and I went to school the next day, and I went and I confronted Miss Anderson. I said, Miss Anderson, how you gonna call my house? Don't you understand the drama that you brought up in my house? Don't you understand the drama I dealt with you? One of my favorite teachers. How you gonna call my house? I said, Miss Anderson, I gotta be in your class. How you gonna call my house and tell my parents I'm not living up to my potential? And she said, you got a B, but you got an A mind. And so I called your parents because you got an A in you. And I'm not getting nothing less than an A out of you. Oh, is there anybody up in here that you need somebody that can believe in you so much that even when you're giving what you think is your best, they can tell you there's greater in you? And I've come to let somebody know that I worked a little bit harder and I studied a little bit longer. And by the end of that quarter, what did I get? I got an A in her class because she was an advocate for me. I've come to let somebody in the house know that Jesus sent the Holy Ghost to let you know you've got an A in you. Listen, I'm done. I'm good. There's an A in you. Jesus said, whoever believes in me, you'll do these things and what? And greater. My question for you is, why are you living so far beneath your ability? Jesus said, the things I've done, you'll do it and greater. Why do you keep accepting mediocre in your life? Now is the time to understand the creator of heaven and earth expects great things out of you. You've got to stop settling. Some of you all know right now in your relationship, you're settling. I'm not talking about in your marriage. In your marriage, if you're settling, y'all need to get into counseling. Amen, somebody? We'll counsel you, work you together so you can get greatness out of your marriage. Amen? Some of y'all single, you living like you married. And you wondering why they won't ever marry you. Cardi B got a ring and you ain't got no ring. You talking about you, Proverbs 31. I can't get no help up in here. You have got to start demanding better in your life. And it starts with what you expect of yourself. You have had so many people not believe in you. You stop believing in yourself. But if you hear anything, hear this today. Jesus believes in you. I know that's a different way of hearing things because most times you're used to hearing folks say, I believe in Jesus. I do believe in Jesus. But the scripture says Jesus also believes in me. It said, whoever believes in me, the things I do, they shall do, and even greater things shall they do. I don't know who I'm speaking to right now, but you're living too far beneath who you are. Got to come a point in your journey in which you get upset and realize who you are. There was a situation, I was in undergrad, I was blessed that my parents were paying my way through undergrad. Got in so much trouble my first year in undergrad. They said, we ain't paying for you to live on campus and cut a fool. And so they made me commute, University of Maryland. I remember it used to be crazy because I was in a place of opportunity and possibility, but I just kept living out the foolishness that I was used to in this region. I go to college and then decide to sell drugs. Who does that? I go to college and decide to keep doing the stealing and the fighting and the violence and the blah, blah. And I'm in my place of possibility and opportunity. I'll never forget I used to bring, if you'll look at my undergrad transcripts at the University of Maryland, if you got kicked out for a 1.8, God would bless me to get a 1.81. If getting kicked out was I didn't get above a 2.0 until my junior year. And that's because you had to have a 2.0 your junior year to stay in the school. Remember, mother and my father having a conversation with me. And my father decided to give a tough love talk. It's tough love talk. He said, son, the United Negro College Fund says a mind is a terrible thing to waste. He said, my money is a terrible thing to waste. We were sitting at the table in the house. And he said, now your mother, this is this tough love joint. I get it now. Said, your mother has all these high expectations for you. He said, I just need you to get a job. So do me a favor. I know your major may be a hard major, I guess, I don't know. Find you the easiest major, basket weaving or something. Do that major, get you a degree so you can come get a job at the rec. I just need you to get a degree so you can get a job and get up out of my house. And I got hot because they had been telling me so much about how much I could become that on the inside of me, something lit a fire. I said, that man don't understand who I am. He don't know that don't matter how low I can get, I can pull myself up out of this whenever I want to. You know what I realize now that I'm older? Because he had always had such high expectations. Even when he said he didn't have high expectations. Because I had come to believe what he had told me before. It caused me to spark something that caused me to start to live out the high expectations he had already said he had. At some point, you got to get tired of living the way you're living. At some point, you've got to get tired of staying stuck. At some point, you got to get tired of being tired. And let something spark inside of you that receives the word of God over your life. That these things that I do, you shall do and greater. I'm not just hyping you up, that's the word. At some point, you've got to internalize the word of God and say, now is my season for greater. If you're in the house today and you receive that in your heart and you realize and are honest enough with yourself to say, in some area of my life, I've been living below God's expectations, and you're believing that God can help you to live the life of greater, I just want you to stand. I just want you to stand. That's you. That's you. That's you. That's you. Hallelujah. 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 I just want to pray for you right now. I believe this is the season of greater. You know what's interesting about the season of greater? It can come right out of the season of not enough. God doesn't need a week, a month, a year to shift your situation. God can flip the switch in a moment. You just got to be prepared to receive what God is flipping for you. I'm believing that your season of greater is not on the way. It's here. You just have to have the mindset to see what God is already doing in your life, the ways that God is already making, the doors that God has already opened, and walk in them believing that you deserve the greater in this season. God, in Jesus' name, I thank you. I thank you, God, for these your sons and daughters. And I thank you, God, for this word that there is greater in store for them. I'm grateful, God, for Jesus sees us all, knows who we are, can call us by name. And it said, for those who believe in me, things I've done you shall do also, and greater things than these. Did you ask anything in my name? I'll do it for you. In the name of Jesus, we speak, God, life into your people. In the name of Jesus, we speak, God, prosperity into your people. In the name of Jesus, we speak healing and health into your people. In the name of Jesus, we speak great expectation into your people. In the name of Jesus, we speak the realization of that expectation. In Jesus' name, we thank you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen and amen. Come on, somebody give God a hand clap of praise if you believe it, if you receive it. Won't you stand all over the church? All that are able, stand all over the